Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fat. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Entertainment caller from St. Louis, and you are now tuned into Lawless Radio, the hottest radio show online. Love what y'all doing out here. I see you. This is Damo ENT, and I'm out.
Oh, what's the business? What's the business? What's the business? You already know who it is, baby. It's the champion. Lawless Radio is on live. Y'all know what to do right about now. Call a friend and tell a friend to bring about five or six friends so we can get it in. Hey, we're going to do what it is we do, baby, and that is support your local come-up. Underground, unsigned, independent music. That's what we do on Lawless Radio. But, hey, this week is part two of our our two-part series, man. We're looking at the rise in violence in Chicago, you know. And before we get going on the show, got to take time to do something that is very close, special, and dear to my heart. I have got to welcome into the world my first, the first of what I hope to be many more grandchildren from my kids. We welcomed into the world on Sunday Calvin Michael Wright Jr., my grandson. So want to congratulate my daughter Tiara and Calvin on a healthy baby boy. Granddaddy is very, 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 very happy and overjoyed. But with that being said, I just brought another male into this world, another male child into this world that seems to be claiming the lives of our young men. So I'm happy to bring the grandchild into this world, but at the same time, I'm scared. I'm scared for that grandchild because even though you do your best parenting, even though you do what is necessary to teach your kid how to function out here in this world, there are still strays and casualties caused by these strays. And that's what we're looking at. I was scheduled to be on the show, rapper JoJo from Chicago. As you all know, he's supposed to have been on last week. And, you know, initially the thought was that he blew off the show. But we found out later that he had been killed the day before the show. So I definitely want to send out to his family our prayers. You know, I don't want to speak any more on it because I know everything you've been reading on the Internet and all of this stuff. We don't know anything. We weren't there. But we do know that is another case of what we're here talking about today. And that's the violence that's claiming our men. Hey, I want to go to the phone. We got a lot of people that we've invited to come on, and I do hope that we get everybody on, and we have a very, very healthy dialogue because we are the key to the corrective actions, the corrective measures that must be put in place to rectify this situation. Hey, I got a call, 773-425. Who we got on the line?
This is E-Dub from Street Fame Music Group from Chicago.
Hey, what's going on, E-Dub?
How you doing there, man?
All right, man. How about yourself, man? How's everything happening out there at the Windy City, man?
Hey, I'm blessed and highly favored, and the city is up in an uproar right now.
Man, the city, man, honestly is far from up in an uproar, man. It is so far from up in an uproar. I mean, when you turn on the news, I'm here in the ATL, you know, and with Chicago being home, you know, we got WGN on cable. So I stay tuned with back home, you know, with WGN. But, you know, I still got family back there that I talk to on a regular basis, man. And, I mean, you can't talk to anybody without finding out that somebody has been murdered, you know. And it's not somebody died. It's somebody's been murdered. You know, died is heart attack, cancer, you know, things like that. You know,
right,
these people
right.
are being taken out of this world.
Well, I can definitely agree with you on that. I want to thank everybody that has shown love to my little nephew, JoJo.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm not going to go into depth about his situation because everything is still under investigation.
Right.
It's been a trying time for our family,
right.
And
right.
It's just one of them things, you know.
Right.
I can relate to what's going on in Chicago because I'm one of the people that came from that same situation and developed into something bigger and made it out of there. But
right,
I'm one of the vets in this entertainment game here in Chicago, so I try to reach out and be a role model and try to teach all these guys different things about the music business and do my best, which is all I can do, you know what I mean? At a certain point, they're going to do what they want to do.
Right,
so
right.
It's just unfortunate, you know. I've always preached peace, and I think that's one of the things that helped me evolve out of that situation. So I try to teach people from what I went through, my road and my journey.
Right, Right. Yeah. And I mean that right there is the scary part, because what you just said, you know, you preach peace, but you know, now a family member has been taken by the thing that you actually preach against. And that right there is the part where I say you can teach your kids everything, and you can try to make your kids standing members of society, you know, do good, don't mess over others, you know, everything. You can teach them all of this, but that still does not save them from the people that are out here doing this stuff.
Well, you know, a lot of it, I feel, you know, I don't want to cast too much of my opinion, but I'm going to just say from what I know. And from what I do know is Chicago has had a lot, and it's all over the world, but Chicago has, and I can say that because it's where I'm from, we have had a lot of broken families. So when you got people being raised by one parent, or that parent's trying to do too much to take care of a family, the other one's not involved, grandma's trying to pick up the pieces, it's hard for a kid to be raised the right way. And still amount to be something. Now, I'm not going to say that that's an excuse, because it's really not an excuse, but if the communities come together, if everybody that believes that they want to make change or see change comes together, Chicago can become a different place. But until we all get on that same page and everybody stop thinking about self, these murders will keep increasing. These kids will not get educated. The same thing we got going on with the school board system up here, you know. It starts from the home, and then it goes to school. If you end up in the streets, that's all you know. How can you change something that you never been introduced to, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's the scary part, because, you know, as much as I agree, you know, with the teachers, you know, talking about, you know, better pay and everything like that, the first thing I see is our kids being held hostage. That's the first thing I see. You know, the kids being held hostage. We're already talking about we're in the neighborhoods where, you know, you probably have more computers. You have better technology. You have, you know, far, far advanced that school in your own home. But this is where our kids are going to learn, you see.
Right.
So now they already have to deal with that. Now you have to deal with somebody that's feeling that they're overworked and they're underpaid. So now, what type of focus do they put on your kid? What type of energies do they put into making your kid turn out to be a better student? So that right there is, like, you know, one of the fears I see in the whole thing. And with them going on strike now, they're already in a bad situation. Now it's a worse situation, because now they're outside. They're not in school where they should be safe. They're outside now. So you got the kids, the parents that was already, hey, I got to work and I got to hurry up and get home, you know, to make sure that my kid is not out there in that element. That parents at work now. The kid's at home. That kid is out here now subject to whatever is going on out there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But you know, you can't put so much on the teachers. You really got to go back to where it all begins and where it starts. You give birth to a child, you have to be a positive influence or role model for that child from day one.
Right.
And if that happens just like it's supposed to, then it's a process from education to getting to the schools to become an adult and being on your own and having your own responsibilities.
If
you don't know anything about that, all you know about is poverty, and all you know about is struggle, and all you know about is violence. How can you, you know, make a decision to do anything different?
Right. And again, that right there, what you just said, is scary. It is scary, because we're talking about all of the issues, you know, when you start talking about home issues. I mean, we know there's a lot of parents out there that, sorry to say, that shouldn't be parents. You know, they still haven't matured themselves to know good from bad, right from wrong. But now that person is responsible for this kid. They're supposed to be teaching this kid good from bad, right from wrong, and things of that nature. If they don't know themselves, how can they teach the kid? So now you got that kid that don't know, you know, it's funny, you know, to hit a kid, you know, hey, B, tell him what he said. You know, he's 2 years old. Tell him what he said. B better have my money. Now that kid goes to school thinking that that's cute, that's funny, that's acceptable, and that kid is doing that in school now. That kid's doing that in school. Teacher can't control him. How's the teacher going to tell him it's wrong if mom says it's funny, if dad says it's cool, if uncle want me to do it? You know, if my cousin had made a YouTube video and I get to look at myself on the computer constantly doing it, you know, so you can't. It's a setup, you know, and like you said, it starts at home. You know, it starts at home. But that is the purpose of the show. That's the purpose. And I won't say, you know, it's a solution that we'll gather, but what are the starting blocks that we need to actually start bringing about this process? How do we change? You as a person, you as a man, you as a parent, you know, what kind of info can you throw out there to that young parent that think all of this cool right now up until that kid is 18 and using them words on them?
Well, what I plan on doing is, I can't speak for anybody else. What I plan on doing is making Street Fame Music Group a situation that gives and provides opportunity for those that are willing and have the drive and passion to be somebody. That's it. I can't waste my time. I can't try to take somebody and make something out of them if they don't want to be something themselves. So
right.
I'm real hard on who I work with. I'm real hard on who I mentor, but I try to put it out for the masses so that maybe I can grab a couple people and they decide, well, you know what, E-Dub, you made it. You got to a
right.
certain point.
Right.
Why
right.
would I not follow somebody like you that's going to help me provide direction?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't have that opportunity with my nephew because our lives was, you know, in different places. And, you know, one thing I've stressed to my family is that we have to all be in tune with each other. No matter what's going on in your life, your world, you got to take time out to know each and every last one of your family members and show that love for each other, because you can save someone if you are part of their life. You can't save them if they're living on their own accord and you're
right.
not in tune. So
right.
that's where
right.
I'm at with that.
Right, right. And that is truly real. That is truly real. I mean, you have got to be a part, because if you're not a part of it, everything that you say is shot down. Everything you say is shot down. You know, you're not there. How can you tell me? You don't know me. You know, and that right there. Hey, I'm getting word from producer. Stay right here. Stay right here. I'm about to put in a call. CamTV. Wants me to put in a call. So stay right here, and I'm going to come back with you. I'm about to call right now, talk to
okay.
Mr. Ford. So stay right here, okay?
All right.
Hey, y'all listening to Lawless Radio. I'm about to call CamTV right now. They want us to give them a call. We're talking about this rise in violence. It's claiming our kids out here, man. And I mean, it's claiming our kids. You're talking about so many under the ages of 25, and when you start talking about young, when we were kids, we used to think that 30, 40 was old, you know, and as you grow older, you realize that is still young. You've really just began to live, you know, so imagine if 30 and 40, you're just really beginning to live. Imagine what you're doing, you know, at 18, 19, and 20. Hey, I'm about to put in a call right now to CamTV. Y'all stay right here. Let me put in this call. That's if I care, y'all. Don't laugh at me. Hold on, here we go, y'all. Y'all know the whole deal about technology. Y'all know the whole deal about technology. Here we go now. 3, 1, 2.
kind of weird. That's kind of weird. I'm not gonna let y'all listen to a lot of dead air. I'm gonna try to call them again. Let me give y'all a song while I figure out why this call is not going through. Hopefully, I did get the right number. So.
Damn. Yo, bruh. Did you see her? Hell yeah. Did you see her? Man. Yeah, I'm going in there and get her, man. But, hey, man, ain't no questions, ain't no buts. I'm going in there, and I'm getting that girl. Bruh, do you know where we at? I know. But, did you see her? Yeah, you should, man. That's all I want to know, did you see that girl?
Yeah, I saw her.
Yeah. I'm going in there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get her. All
right.
And let's see in the...
Help me, 'cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside.
with the expectations of being filthy rich. I done stumbled and failed, but got back at it. To the streets, I'm addicted just like a f**k addict. I wanna make a better way, live a better life, be a better man while making my girl a better wife. Murder rate high, kids killing kids. It's bad when your homies living better in the pen. Every day that pass, I'm getting older. Faith getting weaker, heart getting colder. Maybe I ain't got what it take and won't acknowledge it. Safe to say I waited too late to be a college kid. So I gotta man up if I wanna eat. Get the wind under my wings, ground beneath my feet. This can't be life cause I ain't living well. I wanna break down but can't cause I refuse to fail. Both. For help, but this a cruel world. They say life is a bitch and she a cruel girl. So the clan be trying to help the land deep, but the rap game is slow, looking for plan B. And they say a real man don't cry, man crying probably told that lie. Cause I cried like a baby when I found out my man got popped and cried. Most seen him in that box, boo boo, I blame me. If I made shit pop, you wouldn't have been around. We would have been on the road, rocking plenty crowds. So I feel like a failure. Didn't get to tell you that I love you, cause you will stand up. I can't lose another brother, so I gotta work hard, be a better son to my mother, be a role model for my son and my daughter. Lord, help me get it all in order. I'm begging out.
Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside.
Watching the news each and every day, and I'm crying like a fool each and every day, and I feel like I'ma lose each and every day. Wish I could hop on the broom and just fly away. The front yard of our home should be super safe, so our kids can play and not catch a stray. My heart go to them babies with deep sentiments. Them kids lost their life and they was innocent, so we gotta step it up, gotta put the weapons up. Knocking off our own kind really ain't helping us. I done did dirt, played that hand, walked away when I could save that man. With all of my years doing wrong, if I can save our land, I'ma die trying to save our land. That's effort though, this a new day, and I'm going all out. If you're real, you gotta feel it, help me as I call out. Both.
Cause it feels like I'm dying on the inside.
Cause
it feels like I'm dying on the inside.
This is the realest song I ever wrote.
Got
on this track and I'm pulling my heart out.
Hey y'all, we finna try to do this call again, so y'all stay right here, okay? I guess he wasn't available. So, hey, that's no problem, though. That's no problem. Hey, if you're checking out the show, Sean, give us a call, 646-478-5209. You got anything you want to share with us, hit us up. Hey, I'm getting a, let me read some of this Facebook feedback that I'm getting here. No, I won't even get into any of that because it's a lot of questions again for EW. EW still here, you know, and again you can't answer that. It's an ongoing investigation. So hey, I understand people out there trying to find out what happened and everything, but again, he's already stated he cannot speak on that. That is an ongoing investigation. I'm not ignoring your Facebook questions or anything like that, but can't pass those questions and things on. All right. Hey, EW, you still here?
Yep, I'm still with you, man.
Hey, all right. Hey, I got my man Niz, M-I-Z zone. What's going on, M-I?
Yo, what's up, T? How you doing, bro?
All right, now how you doing, bro?
Man, I'm good.
Hey, there you go, man. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Again, it's a serious situation, man. Chicago is home, and what I'm hearing about this, man, I mean, man, it is hurting. I mean, as a lot of people know, I lost my brother, you know, behind the violence in Chicago. I lost a little cousin. You know, matter of fact, I lost a couple of cousins and lost a lot of buddies. You know, and, you know, those are pains that won't go away. You know, my brother was my best friend. You know, that was my man. You know, so I don't think a day goes past that anything I do, I don't want to tell him about it, you know, and having him taken like that. Again, we're not talking about cancer, heart attack, you know, high blood pressure, nothing like that. We're talking about theft. We're talking about theft. You know, somebody stole his life. So, you know, when I'm talking about it, you know, I can sympathize. I can put myself over on that side of the person that's going through it. You know, and this right here is just something that, you know, it had to be done. Again, it was two-part last week. You know, we talked a lot, you know, and we went through a lot of numbers. And what I want to do is I want to read some of this stuff. Got producer Tanya J. Feed me this information. We got some stats here. They said the murder rate in Chicago is up by 38%. 38%. But overall crime is down by 17.6. By 17.6, overall crime is down, okay? It said it goes on paper, officials are saying that 80% of the violence committed is gang-related. So 80% of these murders are gang-related, you know, and they go on to break them down by communities. But this, one of the strongest pieces I've seen out of this whole thing, they are saying that there have been more murders this year in Chicago than there have been in Afghanistan. Right now, to date, in Chicago, there have been more murders in the streets of Chicago than there have been in Afghanistan. And that is crazy. It said from January to June, they saw a 58% higher number than the troops killed in Afghanistan. Okay? And it goes on to break them down by communities. With right now, Inglewood and the Austin area, you know, and Austin area is home for me, but Inglewood on the south side and the Austin area out west are running neck and neck in the most murders going on. Okay? Stabbings went up in 2011, but nothing has surpassed the amount of gun violence that's been committed. August closed out with 57 homicides. 37 of those homicides were gun inflicted. You know, 2010 August saw fewer numbers, with it being 60, closing out with 60 homicides. But again, we're not talking about car accidents. We're not talking about slip, fell down the stairs and broke your neck. We're talking about somebody actually taking another life. Am I? You just joining. You know, hearing those numbers. You know, what does that do for you?
Well, it indicates a couple of things to me, and it makes me raise a couple of questions. You mentioned the comparison of Afghan deaths of U.S. soldiers to the deaths of us here in Chicago that's going through this time right now, and which also brings another comparison in mind. I also heard that there were more blacks killed on the inner cities of the United States of America than there were killed during the Vietnam War. So what you said in the beginning about the Afghan comparison deaths to us, and what I just mentioned about the lives lost in Vietnam to being more lives lost on the inner cities of the streets of the United States, lets me know or suggests to me that it is now safer to live in a war zone than it is here on your own streets. And it makes me raise a couple of questions. And one of the questions that come to mind that I challenge everybody to ask themselves is why? Why is that? allowed in your community. You mentioned the Austin area and the Inglewood area. Well,
right.
It's by design that it is happening in certain communities. I'm from Maywood myself. I'm just a lover of the city. I love Chicago. And being from Maywood, it's 21 blocks. 1 month here over the summer, there were 15 murders over the course
right.
of 30 days, a month, and 21 blocks. That suggests to me that there's almost a killing every day in the town that I'm from. It's only a 21-block radius. So it's by design. Why is there, are you able to buy liquor on the west side of Chicago as late as 4 in the morning and as early as 6 in the morning? You come out to Naperville, they won't sell it after 10, and you can't get it before
mm-hmm.
12. Why is
mm-hmm.
that? We blame some things on the entertainers and the artists, and us as artists, we do have a responsibility to govern the things we do. But I am not going to allow government or anyone else to let rap music, and especially Chicago rap music, be the crutch for what they have already planted inside of your community by design. It's for a reason.
Mm.
Yes, it's guns
mm.
here, but who put them
mm.
here? Yes, it's drugs here, but who put them here?
Right.
Yes, there's violence here, but what breeded the violence and what triggered that type of violence? The violence that we see in Chicago, in my opinion, is a cry for help. When you kill something, something is wrong. Something is deeply troubling. It is a cry for help, and this cry has been going on for a long time, and it has been ignored, but it's something deeper than that, and it is by design. I want to tell any young rappers, I'm from the streets. I survived the streets. I grew up in the streets. I surpassed the streets. I totally get it. And anybody that follow me and my music, I want to challenge you to think about what the enemy is trying to do to you. And you must be able to draw a fine line between entertainment and reality. If I can take my music and rap about my hardships in my life and make that beautiful and create beautiful music from it or create an art form, and that's my craft, and I get paid from that, then that's beautiful.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But
right.
Where are the parents that it starts at home, it starts with a foundation. So if there's no foundation, then the house can't stand. And so you've got kids killing kids that came from no foundation from the very beginning, and they don't understand. So fathers, all fathers, and especially black fathers, because it seems as if the young black male is under attack here in Chicago, in the inner cities, across the United States. If we are under attack, they are attacking our children. So it's up to us to be better fathers, teach, show, and guide them. Because
right.
there are no avenues for our children. If you look, you come out to the suburb, and I've had the privilege and the chance to live in both. And I can tell you that the curriculum in the suburb is entirely different than the curriculum in the inner city. The activities that they have for their children out here are not the same activities provided for the kids in the inner city. Why is that? Something is wrong. It is by design. Gentrification, we're being moved out of our homes. We're being pushed
right,
out of
now,
our communities.
But now, with that being said, because, I mean, you just raised a very interesting point. And, I mean, that is something that I've said all along as far as the school systems and everything goes. But now, when we looking at these elections, you know, and I'm going to start from top to bottom, president, governor, mayor, and things of that nature, do you think that we should be more critical, more spoken of these people that we put in these positions? Because here we go. We vote, we get in a mayor that tells us we're going to change all of this, that, and the third, but our kids are still dying. They're not being educated, and we're not seeing any improvements in our neighborhoods. We put in a governor who says that life is going to get better. We're going to make sure that your tax money is put to use. But still, our kids are still not being educated. Our neighborhoods are not safer. The answer to all of this is the little light that they put up on the pole, and we know basically all the light means is go over to another block because this block got a light on it. That's all the light on the light pole no means to us. I mean, come on, let's be serious. But now, having these collective voices, do you think this is a message that we as Chicagoans, you know, and I mean, I know we got problems everywhere. I know we got problems everywhere, but we as Chicagoans need to be taken to our mayor's office, our governor's office, you know, hitting Congress. I'm talking Black Panther style, hitting Congress and demanding some type of answer. Because, I mean, cigarettes went up, and what happened? They start hustling cigarettes on the street, and people getting beat down for selling cigarettes on a joint where somebody else selling cigarettes. All right? So, I mean, what do we do collectively? I know we're talking about individually being a good parent and things of that nature, but we know that the strength is in the numbers. The strength comes in the assembly. You know, so we've got to collectively come together to form an agenda. First of all, it's got to be an agenda, you know, with the marks, with the bullet points, hitting everything that it is we're looking for out of everybody that's asking us to vote for them. Hold on for 1 minute. I want to read something, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name right. Mirion on Facebook said, "This is an attack, TL, a direct attack like 9/11. The government is controlling population through annihilation. These little girls are popping out more babies than the states can take care of through poverty, uneducation, and desensitizing gangs and drugs. They are making our kids the exterminators. Look at the average age of our killers. This is an attack on American soil and our neighborhoods. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a race thing. I think it's a rich and poor thing because they have the same issues in the poor Spanish and white neighborhoods. But ours is more out there because it paints the picture that we're barbaric. The election is about health care, freedom of choice, and taxes. Those issues are important, but not as much as staying alive. I moved to Chicago from NO. I hope New Orleans, and Chicago is the only cities where people are dropping like flies. So that means this. Oh, Chicago is not the only city where people are dropping like flies. So that means this is a worldwide issue. Mayors, governors, and presidents should be pressured hard on this issue. Yes. Yes. And Mariana, I agree. We need to be pressuring these people hard. We should have hit the Republican convention up and hit hard. We should have hit the Democratic convention up and hit hard. You know, what can we do to make sure that I can sit on my front porch and not catch a stray? Hey, we got a caller, 630-886. Who we got on the line?
It's Renacy, probably.
Hey, Renacy, what's going on, my brother?
What's going on, TL, man? Thanks for having me on here, bro.
Hey, man, no doubt, man. You got NIC and E-Dub on, Renacy.
What's going on, E-Dub and NIC? How y'all doing?
What's up, bro, man? How you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. Just sitting back and taking a listen to you know, the topic of tonight, which is the Chicago violence. It's a crazy thing, man. Like TL said, what can we do collectively as a group, as a movement, as a force in order to put this to an end? And the first thing that pops into my mind is we have to start like an Occupy Wall Street type of a movement. And we have to basically instill in the minds of the people in Chicago that one person can change everything. People are saying that basically, you know, oh, it's Chicago and violence is just going to keep going on. I'm just one person. What can I do? But you're one person. Your neighbor's one person. I'm one person. TL's one person. E-Dub's one person. You know, NIC is one person. If we all come with that mentality as, okay, I'm one person, but I can definitely make a change and we all collectively do it, I mean, it'll be the catalyst into at least starting somewhat of a movement. It's crazy in these streets right now.
Right, but you know what? MIZ had said something, and I want to I want to jump back on that, but I really want to ask you the question. Okay, entertainers being considered, you know, basically the gasoline, you know, to the fire. You know, anytime you turn around, you know, rap this, rap that, rap this, rap that, rap this. You know, as far as an entertainer, you're being an entertainer. Do you think that you have as much power to control this, control all of this and the outcome of this as lawmakers?
Yes, I feel we do because, I mean, the power really resides in the people and not necessarily the lawmakers. The lawmakers can make laws, but if we don't follow those laws, how good are those laws? It's gonna take us, especially as entertainers. I mean, I don't feel the violence starts from rap music. I feel that it could be the catalyst in it, but without music, violence is gonna be there anyway. But as an artist and as any type of an artist, I feel we do have a responsibility because what we say, it spreads out through a community. And I feel that a lot of artists don't see the power that they have in their tongue. And we have a lot of power. And if we just say something positive, you know, the slightest positive thing could be the biggest thing to somebody else. If I say, hey, I think we should stop the violence, something that simple, if somebody hears that was just about to go on the street and commit a murder to somebody, if somebody hears my track right before they commit that murder and it saves the life of that person that was about to get killed, I feel like I saved, you know, one person. I feel like I saved basically one person, and that's a start right there.
Right.
So,
now, I got a question from Lamont. Lamont said, do you think that the penalties, he said, do y'all think that the penalties for gun violence and murder, you know, is really stiff enough? He said, case in point, it is dependent on where you shoot a person to reflect the amount of time that is given by a judge. It's dependent on where you shoot a person. Now, that's something I guess I gotta research.
Yeah.
That's my first time hearing that. It's depending on where you shoot a person. So I guess if you shoot a person in the arm, you get a year. If you shoot them in the leg, you get two.
Wow.
Hey, Lamont, hit the line 646-478-5209. Because I mean that honestly is my first time hearing that. I know that, you know, they give out time, you know, on how many bullets I'm missing from a clip. But you know, still with that said. I know some people got upset last week when I said it, and I'm going to say it again this week. When you look at, you know, like a California, you know, where they have executions, you know, and, you know, these guys are getting the electric chair and, you know, lethal injection or whatever it is they're using to put them to death. I mean, you saw things start dropping. California had a high death toll in the mid-80s, but California tapered off. Now, question is, do you think that knowing you could get the death penalty would be a deterrent against going out killing somebody?
Is that to me or the whole board?
That's to anybody, you know, because I know where I see it headed because, you know, next thing you start hearing, like last week, you know, I heard, well, that's an eye for an eye and government shouldn't have that kind of power and things of that nature. But, I mean, you know, right now I don't see the government having – I don't see the government having any toll over what's happening. I mean, you're taking the guy, you're giving the guy, you know, life, 20 years or whatever it is, a guy
right.
Getting, you know, and he get out and somebody kill him, you know, and it's still a constant circle. But putting in place, you know, a measure like that, you know, hey, you kill, you know, I just said little Lacey, you know, little Lacey was in her bedroom playing with her dog,
right.
Straight bullet, you know, killed her. You know, no, you're not finna go and get 50 years. You know, we gonna let you sweat it out for 5 or 10 years, you know, but in 10 years, you're going to get the chance to go and face-to-face apologize to Lil Lacey because we putting you to sleep.
Yeah. I think that'll definitely put in somebody's mind some type of fear, but in the streets of Chicago right now, like you said, and like your last statement said on whoever posted that status, that they're basically silently trying to kill us off. So if somebody's already out there murdering people and they know they got the death penalty coming, that's two murders that's going to be committed right there. So either way, our streets are going to get killed off, I think, faster if they put the death penalty in place.
Right, right. But see, what we need right now is something to slow down. I mean, it's that or go after the gun manufacturers. And we know that NRA, you know, any president that get in, I don't care how wholesome or how good the president is
that's right,
saying he is or anything, he is making sure that he don't tick off the NRA. And we know that. We know the problem with murders is not that a person is getting shot one time. Nobody has been dying from one gunshot. They've been dying from being riddled with bullets. Okay?
That's right.
Multiple bullets coming at them from semi-automatic weapons. And then when I believe it was like the late 80s, I think it was Clinton had a meeting where they were talking about, you know, being able to sue the NRA, and that conversation dissolved. You know, first things first, you know, you have the right to bear arms, you know, so we got the right to make guns because you got hunters out there, and hunters need these guns, you know, but you hunting what, deer, rabbit, pheasant, you know, this stuff that you're going to eat. How do you shoot it 100 times to have anything left to eat? If these guns are made for hunting, if they're made for hunting, how do you shoot something 100 times and have something left to eat? You know, being honest.
Yeah, this is MIZ. If I could interfere and just say something. Those guns that you're speaking about, and the pretty expensive guns, how do they get to the hands of the 16 and 17-year-olds? Sometimes 14 and 15-year-olds is doing the killing. So those guns that they claim are for these recreational purposes, they're being given on purpose. It's not by accident that those guns are in our communities and that our communities are flooded with those guns. You brought up something I just wanted to say real quick. You brought up government and the president and taking things to them and being a little bit more harsh when it came to, you know, demanding things. You're right, there is strength in numbers, and I think that we have to collectively as a community re-educate our children. Their whole faulty educational system has been designed for you to play into their system. That's why it's a three-strike-you-out system. That's why they're putting more prisons up, and prisons are now on the stock market. And we know ain't nothing on the stock market that you don't plan to invest in or expect a return on. So it's a trap set that's already set. And as far as the president or anything happening, the entire system has to be completely redone because you're looking at a president who has special interests and political gain, Democrat or Republican. It is two different wings on the same dirty bird. They have a special political interest, and your well-being ain't the first thought of their mind. It is about them their well-being, and to hell with everybody else, and to hell with the poor. It's not black and white. It is green. And that is the actual war, and that's why our babies have less, and our babies get less, because it is a money thing. And the president is just a figurehead. Who you looking at as president don't really call the shots. He is the face of American business, and he handles their corporate business, but he do not call the shots. He's just the face. So I can't wait on him. And I think we gotta take things back. We gotta take things back. And I gotta say, I talked to you last night, brother, and I'm so glad you had this show, because I wanted to tell especially anybody that follow me,
We got to take things back for ourselves.
I swear to you. I swear to you. Hey, I'm going to read something. Let me read something from Facebook, and I'm going to try to get another caller. Got Othar. Othar said the government wants this. He said if you whoop your kids, they come after you. So most parents don't put the fear of God in their kids, and the ones and the other ones shouldn't be parents already. Yeah, we said that. Said so those kids run roughshod over each other, their parents, and those kids that have been taught that this is not the way to be. And we've said that. Hey, let me low key on the line. Let's get low key. Low key, what's going on with you, famo?
Low key.
Man, what's good? What's good? What up, Brandon C? What up to the other brothers? Man, the last brother that just spoke, you know what I'm saying? Man, that brother deep. Real talk, because he's not lying, man. The president is just a face, you know what I'm saying?
Just a face.
He ain't running nothing, man. He ain't running jack. Real talk.
Right.
Real.
But you know what? Hey,
I want to see if he get an email.
Hey, let me see if he get an email like I did. You know, I said that last week, and I got some emails saying, so you don't support our president. Man, I ain't saying I don't support the president, man. I'm just letting you know that, you know, come on, if he was the man, he wouldn't need nobody to ratify anything. You know, if he made policy, if he wrote everything, you know, it wouldn't be able to be vetoed and stuff like that. So, I mean, you gotta understand the whole deal. Go ahead,
Luke. If you want something to stop, and if you want something to not exist, you have to kill the source. You know what I'm saying? And by me saying that, if you don't want the snake to bite you in your, you know what I'm saying? You gotta cut his head off. You know what I'm saying? That's point blank. And if we want to take these streets, where's the what?
Where's the snake?
No, I'm just referring that to this.
Okay.
If everybody wants the killers to stop in the shag, you know what I'm saying? We gotta shut these gun stores down, man. Because I mean, if I got a gun, you know what I'm saying, in my house and it's registered to me, you know what I'm saying? One of the kids might have slipped up. They might have seen where I put it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And now the child got the gun going to school. You know what I'm saying? He might be getting bullied at school or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow,
it's a way. These guns is getting in these kids' hands not by mistake, man. I really think it's purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're being bullied in school, here, take this. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
We just saw that in Colorado, though. Look at what you just saw in Colorado.
Right.
The man bought all of those guns online, pawn stores, and all of that stuff there. So, I mean, they are out there and they ready. This man had Kevlar like he was in the military. If he didn't stop shooting, they wasn't about to stop him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just like you know what I'm saying. So what they gonna blame that on, the Batman movie?
Yeah. Right. Hold on, let me see. Batman
made him do that.
Right. Hold on, let me see this. Now, Lamont said, now you're borderlining on the law interfering with our right, with our constitutional right to bear arms. And you know what? Every time I hear that, man, it always kills me because people don't understand. You have your right to bear arms, but a baseball bat can be your arm, okay?
Right.
A baseball bat, a knife, a can of mace. Okay, so nobody said that you can't have your mace, you can't have your gun and all that stuff, but what people are saying is, what do you need with an AK? What are you bearing that arm for? What do you need with an M16? You know, what do you need with a silencer and scopes? What do you need with this stuff? You are not in the military. You are at home.
People need to just take it back to the old school, man. They just need to throw them dukes up, and you know what I'm saying, the best man wins. You know,
you whoop on
Brian. You know what I'm saying? You whoop him up. You best believe he's going to get a pistol because he got his butt whooped. You know what I'm saying?
But this is the thing. But Lo, you got to look at it like this. And I said it last week, man, and I keep saying it. When we were kids, things were different. Okay, we had full contact games. We body punched. We slap box. We wrestle. We play football in the middle of the street on the concrete and the asphalt. These play video games. They play video games, so they don't know what it's like to get hit. So when they get hit, the first thing they do is go back to San Andreas. What would my man do on San Andreas? What would he do? Oh, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
And that's where they go. Yep. We took the punches. If you didn't want to get slapped, you learn how to slap box better. If you didn't want to get body slammed, you learn how to hold your weight and wrestle. If you couldn't take a rough punch, you learn how to build your body up. If you didn't want to get hurt on the concrete, you didn't get tackled. You ran faster. They not doing that. They not doing that,
right,
man.
You're right.
They're not doing
that. That's 100% true right there.
Right. And that right there is one of the biggest problems I see, and it is sorry and it's sad. Hey, let me grab this call. I got my man Upmost calling. Hey Upmost, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you feel?
Hey man, all right then. How about yourself, man?
I'm good, man. I've been listening to y'all brothers, man. Y'all been all making some good points, and like everybody seemed to be in tune with what's going on, but it's like, what's the solution?
Right. And see, that right there is an ideal question. What is the solution? I mean, yeah, you know, like I said, you know, collectively we all gotta be a part of it. And you know, Occupy Wall Street, that is good. You know, but what can we come up with? And I'll tell you right now, and I'll say it right here and right now, you know, through the ADL Foundation, I am willing to put my actions behind whatever plan we can come up with. And, I mean, it can start with us here, just us on this line right now. And I'm willing to be a part of whatever we collectively said that we can come up with, because realistically and honestly, it affects us. Even if it haven't affected us yet, you know, the people that said that, you know, well, I don't know anybody that died, that don't happen to me, and hey, I live in a good neighborhood, and my kids are good, you know, I go to church, I pay my taxes, you know, I'm well educated, I make $80,000 a year, you know, they have to leave the comforts of their home,
but
and they're out here in the rest of the world with the rest of us, and unfortunately, they become a victim just like the rest of us.
The thing is, I think, you know, like me personally, I was just locked up on something, like something small, but being in Cook County Jail for the last couple of days, I just got out. All I see in there now is young brothers, and all of them got gun cases or robberies or something like that. They had no little small misdemeanor cases. They always facing, like, you know what I'm saying, assault with deadly, you know, armed, you know, deadly force and all that. They all had those type of cases. They coming in there 18 to 21 for the most part.
Right.
All of them got dreads. They trying to, you know, play the role.
Right. And that's scary, man, because, again, we're talking about our future. Whether anybody is willing to accept it or not, they are our future. When we're sitting back, unable to make all of the decisions, they will be the ones making the decision for us. But so far right now, with the way they're dying, you know, I watched Demolition Man, and I cracked a joke one day when I first watched Wesley Snipes' Demolition Man. You know what I'm laughing with my wife, and I said, hey, you notice Wesley Snipes the only black dude in the future. When you watch that movie, I think it was only like two guys in the future. It was one guy working at the Taco Bell, a black guy, and Wesley Snipes. No, you see Asian, you see Spanish, you see white, but no black guys made it to the future. Where did the rest of them go? Did they know something that we don't?
Probably so. It'd be little things like that we don't pay attention to, but behind the scenes, they be plotting it like that.
Right. Hey, y'all hold for 1 minute. I got County Commissioner Robert Steele on the line. Hey, thanks for calling in.
What's up, brothers? How are you?
All right. How you doing today, bro?
It's a tiring day. I just got through marching on in the inner city on reducing the violence in our neighborhood. I just got through with an hour march on that specific topic.
And we need that to be like the first of many, because we really need something. You yourself, you know, we talking about solutions and you know, measures, things that we can do. You know, you yourself, you know, what kind of information can you pass on to us?
Well, the thing that we did today was about unity. 24 churches got together to do this rally today. We partnered together to stretch for about a 24-block area, each church taking one of the blocks to be do prayer, to talk to the community about the responsibility of us as community residents stepping up and using our voices not to accept that violence is the norm in our neighborhood. We don't want
right.
it to become the norm. And that's
right.
what we've begun to do is accept that violence is the norm in our neighborhood. And it's not.
Right. Right.
And so it's a mentality. We have to accept the mentality or change the mentality of our neighborhood mm-hmm. from being some of the things like the brother just said. He just spent some time at Cook County Jail, and that group of people that he just spent time with are 18 to 21, 22 years old. We can't accept that that's the normal thing that these brothers are going to do.
Right.
I spent my time over the last couple of weeks just grabbing young brothers saying, I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm a 51-year-old man trying to adopt younger brothers who I can spend more time with, letting them see some of the work that I do. I just opened this morning a 2-acre site at right across the street from Cook County Jail that's called a youth farm. We're going to be training young men, young women on how to raise horticulture as a way of them earning a new career opportunity to grow vegetables.
Mm.
That's not hard. Don't need a degree. Don't need to go
right.
to college.
Right.
That's something they can do right now.
Right. Now,
and
I like that.
And we have
now,
companies.
Are you there?
That were there. Levy Foods was there that served their food at White Sox Park. And they were there saying, we're hiring some of these young people.
And
so that's the partnership I'm trying to create.
Okay. And I think things like that being put in place. Because I mean, when we were younger, we used to have a place down off of Madison, not too far off of, like Kildare. It was called Off the Street Club. And what the Off the Street Club was, you know, like the YMCA type of deal and stuff. But they had things like that, you know, how to plant, you know, and cook and stuff like that, you know. We went to camp and stuff like that. Not having
yeah.
things like that, you know, it left a lot of idle kids, I believe. And when you're talking about putting together something like that, I do see that being very beneficial. But you know, for the kids that are out here running amok now, that we know that probably don't want to go to that'll be good for these younger kids. You know, for these older kids that are already gridlocked and stuck into believing that's life, you know. And like you said, it's acceptable. Hey, this is my neighborhood. People supposed to die. I'm expecting to die because I'm in this neighborhood, you know. Those people there, you know, how do we grab them and let them know that first their life is more than just, you know, that little
that's
block
true.
And neighborhood, you know, and the stuff that they're doing.
Can you hear me?
Brothers, what we have to do is offer people an opportunity to see things outside of their neighborhood. When
there
you
go.
Only see what's next door, that's all you know.
There you
right.
go.
I spent time yesterday. I was in Glencoe. I was in Northbrook. I'm way on the north side of Botanic Gardens. Today, I'm in a whole other community area. But I see what's so far outside of my community. So I have opportunity to see people at work, going to work. We have to introduce that to young people so they know things outside their neighborhood are also going on in this world while they're living in this world.
Yes, sir.
And so we have to introduce those type of things to young people in our community. I have the opportunity to take people all over Cook County. Cook County is the second largest county in the country. Only Los Angeles County is larger than our county here. So I have opportunity to help young people see things all across this county. If you guys want to partner with me to help take young groups of brothers and ladies to see many things that are outside our neighborhoods. I'd be glad to partner with you to do that.
Hey, I'm down for whatever, because again, you know, this is the neighborhood. This is the world that, you know, my kids got to grow up in. You know, and I can't you know, dismiss this and say as long as I keep my kids safe, you know, everything's going to be well, because again, they have to leave the house. They can't be under my wing forever. You know, so I want to help.
What you're doing right now is you're introducing a voice, you know, and several of us in elected office, I just talked to tonight, we have to get out tomorrow and use our voice on the school strike. Having these kids sitting around home, parents who are expecting their kids to be in school, still have to go to work. So many of them are going to work, leaving their kids at home with the television, with telephones, with Facebook, with texting. And then some of those kids are not doing what their parents want them to do. And so we have to continue to introduce these kids to be involved with various things so we can keep them safe. We certainly want our kids to be learning during the day. And so I'm going to be meeting with a group of electeds tomorrow, black elected officials tomorrow, to make sure our voice is heard, trying to end the strike as soon as possible, because it's not safe. Some kid is going to get injured over the next 24 hours or so, and they're going to blame it on the strike. It's going to blame it on the strike.
That's scary. Right, that's scary.
That's very
because
scary.
It is the truth.
It is the truth.
You know, this is EW.
I want to
chime in behind it.
Count 9 months from now, and let's see how many kids are going to be born 9 months from now.
Wow.
Think about that, gentlemen.
Wow.
That's the truth.
I mean, high school young girl who would normally be in the safety of a school environment right now, I land up at home in their pajamas till 2 or 3 in the evening, you know, with a cell phone. Who do you think they call it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
wow.
We have to be very positive as men leaders in our neighborhoods and using our voices and using our physicalities of what we want to see. Brother said it earlier tonight that when we were younger, we played football, we played softball, we exercised so much during the week playing sports that by the time it was eight, we were tired.
Right.
We didn't have time to be fighting each other, and if it was a fight, you wanted to get your lick in and go home.
So true, man. So true. So true, man. So true. So true. But I think that's the difference right now, because you know, I like to say that we were arrogant then, because, you know, the whole purpose of a fight was to see that person again, you know, and to say, you know, what you did, you know, and now that person got to try to get you back, but it was a constant fight, you know, I'm going to be better than this person on that time, and I don't see that in the kids now, you know. There's, I mean, first off, I mean, it's got to say something about your self-esteem when you walk around with your pants around your ankles. It's got to say something about your self-esteem, you know. And you look at them, and we had these things when people asked us, you know, what you want to be. Now, for some reason, it is popular to say, I want to be alive. That's very popular now. Somebody asks you what you want to be when you grow up, and now all the little kids, oh, I want to be alive. You know, okay, you want to be alive. What do you want to be when you're alive?
Brothers, we've lost our competitive environment. We want to be competitive in sports. In our lifetime, every season we change sports. We change from softball to football season to basketball season. You know, we change sports season. And even as a not being on team, in your community, as you said.
Right.
You know, I played a lot of football. That's how I learned to play football, is play a lot of football. We played against different blocks in the neighborhood. That made us competitive against each other. That made us run together when we got on high school football team together. Oh, I know he can play because he ran over me in the neighborhood.
Right. Right.
So I know
right.
he can play. I played hoops with him in the backyard. So I know he can
right.
hoop.
Right, 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 right.
The only competitiveness these guys right now is how much money can I make more than you can make?
Yep.
On the corner.
Yep.
And you can't make more than me because we all got to pay dude who gave us the work to put in.
Exactly. And we can't make no money if we all standing in the same spot selling the same thing for the same price.
That's right.
Now I got to kill you. I got to kill you so that I can sell mine, and I'm going to take yours. So I'm guaranteed to make more than you because you're dead.
Well, even beyond that, brothers, we're putting ourselves in position by doing that. We either got to move back pretty quick before the cops get us, too, because they try to get out of our work, too.
There you go.
That's part of the game as well.
There you go. There you go. And
so,
I mean, that
person out there selling, he ain't nothing but the middleman. You in between the man that's putting it on the street and the man that's trying to take you off the street.
In between. In between.
You in between.
You're fighting to be the number one tweener, though. You're fighting and you're killing each other off to be the number one tweener. Not the top man. You'll never be that. You'll never be the top man. You'll never be the man putting it out there, and you'll never be the man that's trying to get you from out there because you don't live past being the tweener.
Brother, there ain't never been a drug dealer that I know that retired.
I don't even think it's a retirement plan. There's not a retirement plan.
Ain't no drug boys that retire.
No.
You know, you do the game as long as you can live the game, and then somebody takes you out the game because they want your game.
Yep.
And that's the unfortunate part about that. So certainly we have to do more things to be positive role models. You know, it's an easy thing for us to say, but it's something we have to kind of live, that responsibility. And again, I have such a large environment that I can show young people, young brothers, young sisters, that's so amazing for them to see and be a part of in this society. There are career opportunities that we can show them. You know, I'm on the board of so many organizations that I can take them into the front door and see how you can get treated by just saying I'm a board member of the organization. Or I want to see positive things happen in this organization and see how they treat you differently. Because I have a title called commissioner, people just open doors for me now. And I'm still a regular guy. I don't look for that. But because I work hard and they know how sincere and passionate I am about trying to help young people, people will go the extra mile to allow me to be a part of a certain type of room. There ain't a boardroom in Chicago that I haven't been in. I don't care how corporate it is, there ain't a boardroom in Chicago that I haven't been in or can't get in. And I certainly like to take some young people from our neighborhood so they can see that.
See why the twist
in their hair ain't always the safe way to wear your hair and the pants below your butt. That ain't the cool way if you really want to do something that's different.
Right, right. And I mean, these are the things that I think the kids need to go out and see. They need to see those type of things instead of the guy that's driving with the car. You know, that's my car. That's my car, man. And idolizing all of that. You know, that false power. You know, getting out actually seeing. You know, that self esteem power. That I worked my way up. This is what I got. Look at how they look at me. Look at how you can be accepted. Let me show you what true respect is. You know, without getting out seeing that, I think they locked into where they are. And what I say when I'm talking about, you know, a movement starting, you know, from a group, those are the things that I would like to see happening. Like you say, you know, with the whole horticulture, showing the kids how to plant and stuff, you know, an actual, you know, how you have the take your kid to work day and all of that stuff there, that right there would be a decent deal.
I had the opportunity a couple of months ago. I brought some kids down to the county board room and let them sit in our seats. Let them run a meeting. I had 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. I called them commissioner. I all gave them a title. And they had to put on legislation to pay bills like I pay bills. Every time I go to a meeting, gentlemen, I spend, in terms of my voting privileges, I spend over $200 to $300 million every time I go to a meeting. Can you imagine that? A young black man from the west side of Chicago votes on $300 million worth of spending your money every time I go to a meeting.
Right. And letting them see that. Let me pull another call in here. We got 708-305 on the line. Who do we have on the line?
Rashawn and Barfield.
Hello? Hey, can you say that again?
Rashawn and Barfield.
Hey, how you doing now? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just basically just calling in, touch bases on a topic at hand. I think it's just kind of, you know, different for me because, you know, I'm only 25, you know, so I'm still young. I'm still a part of the youth that's in Chicago now, you know, and I see a lot of the violence that goes on. And I just think, like, a lot of it starts, you know, starts at home, number one. And so many people don't see a way out, you know. Here it is. My story is something similar to that. Never really got into the violence act of killing and shooting people, but I tried the life of, you know, gang banging and standing on the streets and, you know, trying to sell drugs. But, you know, one day I said to myself, like, you know, why am I honoring a man that I don't even know? You got kids running around, you know, talking about, you know, Larry Hoover and Jeff Ford and King David and all of this other stuff. And it's just like, why are you honoring a man that you don't know, that you never seen before, who don't care about you? You know, and they don't see it from that perspective. You know, here it is. It's just like, I saw a different avenue for me. You know, I used sports for my avenue. I dropped out of high school, you know. Dropped out of high school, could have easily gave up and said, you know what, back to the street life. But I said, no, you know, I'm going to go back, I'm going to get my GED, and I'm going to continue to believe in my dream. And here it is now, you know, I'm playing professional basketball. So, I mean, it's like, it's hope out of it, but it's all about your mindset. You know, they listen to the music that we hear. You know, you listen to Chief Keef and Waka Flocka, and Chief Keef is all over the, you know, the radio, the news, and he's getting hit hard right now. And it's just like, you know, you hear this, and you hear, you know, I'm in a trap, you know, I'm making money, I got eight balls, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I mean, in the reality of the situation, these people that they're listening to is not really even living that life no more. You know, they got money, they done made it, you know.
Brother Bearfield, I want to agree with you because Chief Keef's grandmother had a quarter that ain't the lifestyle he lives because he's in my house. He in the basement most of the time trying to write
right,
some music.
Exactly. Right, right,
you know,
right.
He ain't on the street doing all that.
Exactly. And a lot of kids, you know, fall into the trap of seeing the fast cars and the fast money and, you know, the women that come along with it. But truth be told, the reality of the situation is, do you really want to get it on your own and work for it, or do you want to try to go out and get it this way and put yourself in the jeopardy of either dying or living in jail? Because once you go to jail, all the stuff that you done did, it's irrelevant, you know. It's just like you have to find some type of avenue to better yourself, you know, further. And it's just like, you know, today or whatever, I actually spoke with my mentor, and it hit me this morning, you know, when I was thinking about calling in to the radio show, I came up with a clever idea that, you know, I'm going to take my Twitter name and start an organization. My Twitter name is at the coolest kid, you know, DA coolest kid or whatever. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start I am the coolest kid organization. And basically what this organization is going to be about is for kids that's in school, you know, who's doing well with attendance and straight A's and, you know, just different type of things. And for each kid that accomplish each one of these goals that I set forth for them to accomplish, they will be rewarded with the clothes, you know, the newest clothes and Jordans and, you know, iPads and stuff that some people that is not fortunate able to get, I will be able to provide that for them, you know. And I think that they will give some people a goal to try for something, to receive something in the end.
Well, Brother Bastille, let me pre-warn you. Don't try to give them all the Jordans. Give them some nice gifts. Nike's is Nike's whether they got Jordan all of it or not. Give them some
right.
nice gifts. Because don't let your competitive foot down on other kids because other kids don't have it.
And I agree 100% with you on that. I mean, whatever it necessarily really takes, you know, in order for us to get our kids to see a way through school and to stay in school to provide a better living for themselves and a better, you know, economic situation for the next generation coming up alone, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I just necessarily look at the situation that just happened with the kid, JoJo, how he just died, and it's just like, you know, you look at it, and you got so many people running around and saying, oh, you know, he did this or the other, but be realistic about the situation. The boy is running around here talking about, you know, I'm BDK, I'm gangbanging, I'm this, I'm that. I don't wish death upon nobody, but at the same point in time, you can't go out and provoke death to come to you and expect for it not to happen.
Right, right.
Well,
right.
Fellas, I'm going to get a wrap up, but I say to you all that there is so much in our communities that we don't have to adopt. Because we have gang organizations in our neighborhood, that's not all that's there. That's not all that's there. If we look for that, and that's what we limit ourselves to seeing, that's all we're going to see. But there are churches in our group, in our communities, there are neighborhood organizations there, and there are people there like you and I who want to make a difference. Hollywood.
Right. Right.
Never.
Right.
If your brothers need tickets to go to the zoo, to take kids to the zoo, I can give you as many tickets as you want, free of charge.
Right.
If you
want
to go to any of the museums, I can help you get into any of the museums so kids can go see that. But we want to take young people so they can see where their career opportunity. Because if you go to the zoo, there are zookeepers. There are veterinarians. There are maintenance people. You know, somebody has to go buy the food for the elephant.
Right.
And so there are so many other careers there.
Right.
Other than just that I'm going to see a monkey.
Right.
And there are very few of us as minorities who are in those career fields.
Right. No, and it's the truth. I mean, you got to see things. You got to get out. You got to have these experiences. These experiences are actually what shape us. You know, I think about being a kid, you know, doing music and everything, and my grandmother didn't want to let me go to Cali. I was a 17-year-old kid. She did not want to let me go, but she wanted me to get out and see outside of Chicago. You know, since that time, I've been somewhere everywhere, you know, and wanting to go because I know how to go. I know plane, train, bus. I know this, but that was because also, again, I was allowed to get outside the neighborhood. Had she not let me get outside the neighborhood, do I think I'd have got out? I don't know. I don't know. You know, and I shudder to think.
It just creates a thirst in you to see more. That's what it does.
Yep. Yep.
You know, this year I went to Turkey. I was in Turkey in Europe and saw the variety of things outside of the United States that challenged me. I started a charter school here on the west side of Chicago in 2007. I've opened one up in Dubai. I have one in the United Arab Emirates now. It's performing well. Now my kids from the west side of Chicago want to go to Dubai and see the school over there. And so now my kids who are on the west side are starting to reach out to another country to see if they want to receive them over in another country.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is a reach. That is a reach. You're talking about another country, not another city. You know, not another neighborhood, and that is a reach. And again, that's a good reach. That is a good reach. So I definitely like hearing that. I know you say you got to wrap it up, but I definitely want to stay. I want to stay in contact because again, this can't start and stop with just us. We've got to unite as many people in this fight as we can in order to win it. The strength are in the numbers. The numbers are out there right now, and those numbers that are high are the numbers that's bringing about the plague, you know, the genocide that we're facing right now. So we need more numbers is equal to theirs, you know, to either bring them over to our side or to just make them drop their ways. It's got to be a surrender on a side, and it can't be on our side. We can't be the ones to surrender. We can't be the ones to retreat. They've got to be the ones to retreat. We've got to make them see what it is they're doing. And I think the whole truth and the power lies in grabbing those young, like you said, grabbing those kids that are watching, that are going to one day mimic and emulate that stuff. We got to grab them right now, and we got to tarnish that vision that they see of all of that.
I totally agree with you, brother. It's been a pleasure talking to you all, man.
Amen.
I hope you stay positive. Whatever I can do to be a partner with you, please take advantage of calling on me. I'm going to give you my website number so you guys, anybody want to go on my website and get information. I have information on my website about colleges, the kids who are preparing to go to college, scholarships for kids, different programs I'm involved in. They want to reach me, www.robertsteele.org. www.robertsteele.org is my website. My phone number and contact information is there. So stay in contact, brothers.
Hey, no doubt, man. You take it easy. Hey, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for coming on the show.
A pleasure being with you, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
All right. Hey, y'all stick around. Let me get one song. I know I'm getting requests about music, and I know if you didn't hear me at the top of the show, I said today is not about the music. Y'all know me, man. It's all about supporting your local come-up and getting that music out there. But today it's about where do we stand? Which side are we on? Are we a part of the problem or are we a part of the solution? A change has got to come. This is them down south folk with a change going to come.
Let me hear that. Time into the sunset, spinning down, Hudspeth, no spliff, no bricks, Oak Cliff legal. millions. When I was young, I dreamed I had plenty. Jewelry and cars, lived like a star. When I got older, got me a job. Childhood dreaming, got me in debt. Now we be living check to check. Look like I'm ballin', but do not know better. Benz outside on E, I'd rather change.
After all of this is over, you got to face judgment.
And so now all of this stuff that you think that you got away here, shouldn't that at least be fear enough, you know, for you to not want to do the stuff here?
And, yeah, this MIV. If that child is taught that from the beginning, from the very beginning, if that love and fear of God is put in them at the same time from the very beginning, but he's got to be educated from the get-go, and he's got to know about God from the get-go. And yes, it should be enough to keep you in check and in line, to let you know that you're going to have to leave this earth one day and face judgment. That should be enough, but it's got to be taught from the get-go. So many of the kids that's in prison now, and like you say, that age group of 18 to 21, and even younger than that, they don't know. They've never been taught. They've never been nurtured. They've never been shown, and they haven't been outside of their community. They grow up, party and live and die on the same block. So until that can change, you know, ordinary people do extraordinary things when given the chance. I believe that. But they don't get the chance. They ain't had a chance to venture outside of the community and see how other people live. And if they could, they would realize there ain't nobody dying but us.
Right, right. And it's bad because, you know, I mean, I don't want nobody to think Uncle T.L.'s an angel. You know, everybody that know me, you know once upon a time that was, you know, before it was T.L., it was T.L. Core. And King T.L. Core wasn't nothing nice. He wasn't nobody nice out there, you know. But for me, it was the deterrent for a lot of things for me was going to funerals, you know, leaving a funeral, going to a funeral. You know, you buried a buddy on Saturday. That next Saturday you was burying another buddy. That next Saturday you was burying another buddy. You know, so it's like, man, you know, I think I better take this music a little more serious and get me out of here before somebody be going to bury me on a Saturday. You know, and I mean, that's like drugs. You know, you see a guy that used to be somebody, and he's strung out hard out here. Now you want to go and try? You want to try the same drugs he doing? You know, so you can end up like him. So it's like things like that, you know, just basic common sense. If it didn't work for him, what's going to make it work for me? And you would think that this right here would be a big enough deterrent, you know, for the kids, but the reality is not. You know, what did they say about James Dean, that whole, what, live fast, die young, make a good-looking corpse? This is the mind state now. This is regular. I'm gonna tell you how regular it is. Tyrell, I can tell Tyrell is young without even going to visit his Facebook page. Tyrell just shot me. It said, "Y'all sound like y'all saying if somebody trying to get down on you, let them. Cause that's what you saying if they up and you can't." So all that right there is a mind state. This man is believing that we telling him to let somebody do something to him. And nowhere in this entire discussion have that been said. What we're saying is don't put yourself in the position of nobody wanting to get you.
That's it.
Don't put yourself in a position of having to up. Don't put yourself in a position of thinking that anything like that is ordinary. Somebody looking to do you harm shouldn't be an expectation. You looking to do somebody harm should not be an expectation. None of this should be considered acceptable in your mind. You should be thinking about one day becoming a father and a grandfather and passing on your legacy. That's what you're supposed to be thinking about, not how to survive the day, survive the week, survive the month, survive the year. That's not what you're supposed to be thinking about. And it's scary
right.
Because that is the mind state of our kids. They want to survive. We are not in combat. This is not war. We are not behind enemy lines. Why are we living like that? Why are we acting like that? Why are we conditioning ourselves to think like that? The battlefield is the battlefield because we allow it to be the battlefield. People scared to hold people accountable. That's what creates the conditions that we have. People scared to whoop their kids. What did the guy say? He said, if you whoop your kids, the government government gonna get you. I ain't got one of my kids I ain't put my hands on. And we'll put my hands on the police. Go check my record. Check my record. I will put my hands on them if they come in the house and tell me I can't put my kids.
That's
I am going to do what I have to do to make sure that my kids understand action, reaction, cause, and effect. It is
That's
as simple as that. It is as simple as that. So we can't talk about who's going up on you and if you got to up on them. That's not a conversation we should be having. And when you're a kid and kids dying at 17 and 18 like this, that should be the furthest thing from your mind. At 17 and 18, I was trying to get girls. That is what was on my mind. She bad. I'm getting with her. Not who I'm finna go and try to get down on. Yeah, I'm finna get down on somebody, but it's finna be a her. I'm telling you right now. You know, but that's not where they at. The kids, I mean, I don't know what they smoking. I don't know what they smoking because this is not any weed that I have ever smelled. When you smell these kids after they done smoked whatever it is they done smoked, it smell like they done set a car or something on fire. And then now you gotta pop ecstasy to get yourself in the mood at 17? At 17, just because I woke up, I was in the mood. Okay, what do I gotta take a pill for? I woke up, I'm in the mood. It's as simple as that. So you pop in ecstasy, and you take Viagra, and you smoking weed at 17 years old. And again, it's not weed. I don't know what the stuff is, man. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's not doing all right, man. Let me see something. I got Shaw. Shaw trying to get my attention. Bad. Shaw is trying to get my attention. Shaw said, these mothers are destroying our young men. Not all mothers, but a large majority. These little boys, as young as five, walk around with their pants hanging off them. Who dressed them? Mama. Ears pierced. Who did it? Mama. Pretty little braids in their hair. Who did it? Mama. He's my little man. He's a little soldier. He just like his daddy. But they say all the time in front of the kid that daddy ain't nothing. So what are they telling the kid he's going to be? Nothing. And who did this to them? Mama. The vast majority of mothers are not as strong as our mothers were, and the fathers are just as absent and no good as our fathers were, so the kids don't have a chance. Damn. All I'm going to say is, wow. Thanks for trying to get my attention, Shaw, because that was something. Oh, here you go. I'm definitely going to like reading this one. The way it started off already made me want to read this one. DJ K-Rad says, Bush knew we had weapons of mass destruction, and he knew where they were, right here in our neighborhood. Young, black, uneducated, dirt poor, highly sensitive, with access to better guns than the police have. That is a bomb that can destroy many families. One of these kids letting off can affect more families than with one action than you can imagine. Look at Colorado.
Okay.
Wow. So wow. Bush knew where to work. Hey, hey.
That was another.
Dude, that right there is real. A weapon of mass destruction. Yes, you do have it in these kids. I mean, think about, you know, one shooting, what one shooting does to a family. If the kid that got shot dies, then that affects his family. But if the kid, you know, and if the kid that did shoot him gets caught and goes to jail for the rest of his life, that affects his family. So you affect multiple families with one action. That is something. That is something. Hey, Upmost, you still there, bro? Hey, I thought we still had Upmost on the line. Hey, MIZ, give me some parting words, man. We getting ready to end. This show ended first off too soon for me,
But I want to thank everybody that came on. And, again, I don't want it to stop here. I don't mind having a third part, a fourth part, a 103rd part to this until we get something in place where we can say collectively, Granny can sit on her porch and not worry. Look, Jill can play in the yard and not worry about nothing. You know, Bebe can go to school and not worry about nothing. Until we can say that, now, I am willing to do one of these shows every single week. Matter of fact, I give us five or six of them during the week. Hey, give us a part of words, M.I.Z.
Hey, before yes, M.I.Z., come on, this is E-Dub. I want to say something real quick before we get out of here.
Come on, man, come on.
I got to get it off my chest real fast.
Come on,
man. The gentleman addressed the situation in regards to my nephew, JoJo, kind of bringing on a situation. And all I will say is respect amongst people will cause situations like that not to happen. You really do got to watch what you say, how you say it, and who you say it to. And if you got my whole thing behind the situation is if you have a beef or a disagreement with somebody, you go to them directly. You don't put it out in the masses. So for that, I'm sad, and I hope that my nephew's death gets other people to open their eyes and start paying attention to what's real out here. But I'm definitely with you, and I'm definitely going to be a part of this whole movement going forward because I feel like we can reach people. We it happened for a reason, and everybody got on this call for a reason. And all of the death count in Chicago happened, and we can't let it go in vain just because it didn't hit you directly. It hit me directly.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to put out there.
Hey, man, what I'm going to do next week, man, I want to reach out to all of y'all. And, again, I want to bounce things off everybody because, again, we don't have all the answers. No one person has all the answers. And I want to reach out to all of y'all next week, man, and I want to, you know, I want to see what it is we can do. You know, if it's like Mr. Steele said, you know, putting together, you know, putting to the museum, to the zoo, you know, if we deem that as being beneficial, I want to do it. You know, again, you know, this is home. This affects us all. You know, and if we can't protect our home, you know, as men, you know, we are not effective. We're not effective in this life, you know, and as men, we owe it to our families to be able to protect them. And it don't just mean going out shooting people, stabbing them, beating them down and things like that. It is removing harm from them. You know that harm is coming to them and you remove that situation from their presence, then that also is protecting them. And them being in an unsafe, you know, neighborhood, that is not, you know, doing the job of protecting them. Hey, let me grab this last call before we get out of here. We got 312-912 calling in. Who we got on the line?
This is Pete Sinatra, sir. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on with you, bro? What's happening, man? Happy birthday, first off, man.
I wanted to appreciate it, man. My fault, man. I was over in O'Hare, man. I was coming back for the little casino things and all this stuff, and it was hard to get the signal over there by the airport, but I told you I was going to call in, man. Yeah, I was trying to touch up on what you was talking about, too, about the violence, man. That we're doing a little program called Pick Up the Mic and Drop the Guns, man. And I definitely agree with everything you talk about in that aspect of that because these little kids acting like they know the consequences of what they're doing, man. And all this shooting is crazy, man.
Right, right. And what's the program again?
It's called Pick Up the Mic, Drop the Gun.
Man, I like that. Hey, you got to give me some more information about that.
I got you, of course. You already know, but yeah, I was just calling to check in, man. And hey, man, keep doing what you're doing, Tierra, man. We got you over here in Chicago. I know Atlanta, L.A., New York, everybody doing it. You know, being part of the Lawless family as well, man. They got to understand that this is a hard grind right here, man. And I really see what you're doing, and especially, man, touching up on these topics like this, man. That's some golden stuff you got going on right there, man.
Hey, no doubt, bro. No doubt, man. Enjoy the rest of your birthday, man, and we definitely going to be in touch, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the information in your email, man. And we'd like you to be a part of that, too, man. We're trying to expand it everywhere you go.
Hey, man, no doubt. You know I'm definitely down.
All right, brother. You have a good day.
All right, bro. You take it easy now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, that's Peoples, man. Chicago North Pole representing. Hey, let me grab this last one. We got a 414 calling in. 414-324. Who got on the line?
Hey, this is Mel.
Hey, what's going on, Mel?
Hey, cuz. What's good?
What's happening? What's happening?
I just wanted to give my condolences to young JoJo's family. I didn't get a chance to hear all of the show, but I heard most of it. And I know violence is going around everywhere. I pray and hope that people understand that there are other avenues for these young men to go to. My son, you know, he's military. I signed him up at 17. He came to me and Mama said, "Mama, by the time I'm your age, I'll be retired." And I laughed at him because he didn't know really how old I was. 17. I was like, "I'm not 37."
Right.
You know, I did that for him, and he's a good young man. And he got. I wanted to get him off them streets because I'm from Kansas City, and it's bad there too. We have too much crime, too much violence, too many kids that are not pushed and focused, and the parents are not doing their jobs, but also the community is not doing their job. So I want to say, from my perspective, is that everybody needs to stand together, not when something happens, but stand together when you need to.
Right.
When you see
right.
something going wrong, say something. When
right.
you see a
right.
kid that is out there and is not doing what they need to do, say something. When you
right.
see a parent in need, help out.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of single mothers out here. You got a lot of these little boys that are raised by women that have no foundation, no structure, or anything in their life. And so they don't know what to do when they lose them to the streets. So,
right.
you know, I want to give my Lawless shout out. It's
no doubt. It's lawless. It's lawless, baby. Hey, thanks for calling in now.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Hey, we out of here. Hey, let me hear from the brothers. Upmost, E-Dub, M-I-Z. Throw some shout-outs out there real quick.
Yeah. Shout-out to M-I-Z. Shout-out to everybody in Chicago. Chicago, stand up. Maywood, scream at me. Y'all, please slow down. Stop. Everything, just think before you do things. We got to take care of one another. To the brother, Ida, my heart goes out to you, and my condolences to you and your family. Please, y'all, it's on us. We can't wait on nobody to do it. We got to go do it. TL, real quick, I stand with you and the commissioner and anything you brothers want to do toward making anything better for the kids. You need my help, I'm here. Let's put some action behind these words. That's not just
no doubt.
Sticky, but let's actually do it. Let's go do it. You call me, man, any time of the day, man. I'm there. I wanna actually get out here and make a difference, man, and see some lives change, man. So please just reach out to me anytime you need me, man. And thank you for having the show and this type
hey,
of form. And thanks for supporting me, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, thank y'all for coming on the show, man. Thank y'all. Looking forward to doing some positive things, man. I want to thank everybody that came on the show, man. E-Dub, Upmost, M-I-Z, Renacy, Loki, People Sinatra, Mel, Commissioner. I couldn't get brother's name. Sound like Bearfield. You know, I want to thank everybody for coming on because dialogue like this is what's needed, you know, to bring about the change. Unless we all agree that we have a problem and that there is a problem, then we don't know what we have to do to correct the problem. So we've admitted here in two different shows that we have a very serious problem. Now, the next step is correcting that problem, you know, and how do we correct that problem? Before you go and hurt that next man, understand, the casket is a mirror. The same way you're looking down at this person, somebody's going to have the opportunity to look down at you. Don't put yourself in a position of bringing that time on sooner than it's supposed to. Don't put your family through that. Don't put the next person's family through that. If you can take anything from what we've said here, we've got to love ourselves. And I'm talking about individually. You have got to love yourself before you can pass that love on to others. So stop thinking that this product of the environment that people keep saying is what you are. You are not a product of an environment, because you can change that environment at any time you want. I came here, all of that, we stuck in the project and we're going to be in the project all our life. I came from the project. You can't tell me about that. Right? I came from the West Side, the Austin area. You ain't telling me nothing about that. I am off Capitol Hill, Murder Cap. You can't tell me about that. What I have today is what I made up my mind to go after. Granted, in being blessed, I had a mother and a grandmother that put that foot off in the tail and made it understood that you don't sell yourself short for nobody. So I didn't sell myself short. Stop selling yourselves short. You are not limited to a block, a street corner, a neighborhood, or a city or state. You are not limited. Take these limitations off yourself. Get out and see everything that you can be. Go after it. If you fall on your face 1,000,000 times, that means on that 1,000,001 time, you know exactly what not to do because you've made that mistake and you fail. Keep trying until you get where you are. Stop dreaming about being alive and figure out what you're going to do with the life you have. Make sure you take care of yourselves. Hey, I got to send a shout out to my people out there working airlines, my people out there working Frontier and AirTran in Milwaukee, my people out there working Frontier and AirTran in Chicago's Midway, my people out there working U.S. Airways and United, Chicago's O'Hare, my people out there working U.S. Airways, Frontier, AirTran, and Southwest and Atlanta Hartsfield. Y'all keep those planes in the sky safely. Rain, sleet, or snow, y'all make sure them planes go and you do it all so well. If nobody else says thank you, if nobody else says they appreciate you, trust and know the chairman does. We can take this chat offline, y'all. I'm still going to be online chatting with people. Let's continue to go. Let's grow. The ADL Foundation is about bringing about this positive change, and we are looking to work with people that are about bringing about that positive change. Again, I want to send my condolences to JoJo's family. I wish he was alive to actually be on the show, because that was a young cat that, you know, we would like to talk to. We want to talk to the young, the people out there who have the ears of the other young, you know. But cut short was his life, and I don't want any more young people's lives cut short. So please, let's learn from these words that have been said here. Let's take them to heart, and let's make a difference, y'all. Lawless Radio is a product of Lawless Entertainment. The music heard here, unless otherwise indicated, is not the sole property of Lawless Entertainment. However, we have been granted the broadcasting rights to be a part of this show, to be a part of Keeping It Real on Tuesdays, to be a part of the Raw Deal on Thursdays. Simply go to lawlessradio.com, click on the Submit Music tab. It is that easy. I'm going to catch y'all next week doing the same thing, the same time, and that is support your local come up. All love to you, baby. The Lawless World Order is in full effect, man, and you know it!
City of the world. win. The city where they say all the haters gonna live. I don't agree, but what's the difference? We the home where the most gunshots exist. If you mention murder capital, we top of the list. Even worse, the majority of victims are kids. Whatever happened to the pencils, papers? Whatever happened to books and calculators? I remember I would watch cartoons every Saturday morning when I had no school. I would play Street Fighter a couple hours or two. Fireballs, uppercuts to the sonic booms. Nowadays, they ain't got no clue about the games that we played at the age of youth. Now they learning how to point, cock, aim, and shoot. But you don't care, right. So they point, cock, aim, and shoot.
Take you to a place where the schools got more crime than the streets, and it keeps on rising. Let me take you to a place. Parents on the news are crying, another candlelight on the sidewalk. Let me take you to a place. Barely have school supplies here, but every day shots are firing. Let me take you to a place. Every day kids are dying, screaming out, stop the violence. A shot, man.
Why you hating today? Could it be the sun rays show a beautiful day? Could it be you can breathe not using a tank? You can tell me what it is, please help me to think. Could it be that you got a roof over your head instead of dirt being buried out in Borough Center? Could it be that you made it alive in 2010 when 10 years ago we thought computers would end? Can't even begin to count the cases. Good die young, we killing our own race here. And even as I do this song, I bet another gunshot and the shot went off. Everyday headline in the news, little 5-year-old kid just shot up his twin. Poor Derry and Alba got hit in the head. Protect yourself only if you gotta defend.
Let me take you to a place where the schools got more crime than the streets, and it keeps on rising. Let me take you to a place. Parents on the news are crying, another candlelight on the sidewalk. Let me take you to a place. Barely have school supplies here, but everyday shots are firing. Let me take you to a place. Everyday kids are dying, screaming out, stop the violence. A shot, man.
Yeah. Shot down. South side. West side. Everybody get up. Yeah. Let's go. Be inspired. Yeah.
You don't hear me though. Nah, you don't hear me though. You don't hear me though. It's my letter to the shy. Let the bottle drip dry for those that pass by. You don't hear me though. It's my letter to the shy. I'm proud to get high just to get by. You don't hear me though. You don't really know. I put my blood, sweat, tears in this city. Lost peers, dumb peers in this city. Do I wanna raise my kids in this city? Let me think about it. Really weigh the pros and the cons that made me strong. Talk me out of weather the storm. Carry your arms. Hustle to the crack of the dawn. And hate in the wrong. Talk me about the biblical scriptures and holy Quran. Talk me out of work me a job and mack me abroad. Land of the heartless scorn. Continuous war. Talk me about my 5 P's and 3 D's. Triple L's. Literature from the GD's. Blackstones, Vice Lords, and BDs. Solid foes, new breeds, and Latin kings, please. Stop game banging like it's 93, you see. What the real enemy wants us to be. This my letter to the shy. Let the bottle drip dry for those that pass by. You don't hear me, ho. This my letter to the shy. We ride and get high just to get by. You don't hear me, ho. This my letter to the shy. Cornered room is empty. Besides, this pen and pad and bottle of Henny. Pouring out my heart into this loose leaf paper. Reminiscent of my loved ones lost to the Matrix. I guess what I'm really trying to say in this letter, we gotta take upon self for things to get better, or else we gon' self-destruct till we extinct. These kids just follow the trends, they don't think so. I'm holding every OG accountable. If you could remember back when the streets had principle and structure about itself, to lead by example too. That's what them cats that raised us would do. I'm just carrying the torch like a runner would do. See, they passed the baton, so I carry the truth. So I carry the youth. put my message through the music of Rebel. To the devil, that's forever, my Mella. This my letter to the shy. Let the bottle drip dry. For those that pass by, you don't hear me though. This my letter to the shy. Ride and get high. Just to get by, you don't hear me though. This my letter to the shy. For those doing their time. Locked in 6x9, you don't hear me though. This my letter to the shy. For those trying to survive. Hustle a 9 to 5, you don't hear me though. Desolate blocks.
Boy, a little girl once asked me, what's it take to get to the top? I said, for you, school, God first, your family, being so
magnetic.
And I don't think I would have said any different, man, seriously.
I feel you.
But you got to get up and go, baby. It ain't going to get handed to you. You got to go out and get yours and just let it all unfurl. Like, it's hard days. It's going to be rough nights. You gotta get up and go. Like, for me, it's like hard days and hard nights. Sometimes I wanna die, but there ain't one day I won't suck it up and try. Cause there ain't one day I won't look up to the sky. Cause I'ma pray every day, even after I die. And after I die, they gon' still hear my words. And then maybe get the reason why I put my music first. Cause it ain't about the money and then moving to the birds. This is all about one way, trying to get heard. Then listen to my mama and then listen to my father. Saying, say a DSP in the music biz, don't bother. You tell me what to do, it goes in way and out the other. Then you 21, you pushing rocks like man collar. My, you 21, you taking care of a G. And I ain't got no other brother, so obviously it was me. And then I had a little sister. Seen the very next night, Aaliyah, you're the only girl that I would die for twice. So I write and die.
Smile like you mean it.
Oh, I smile like I mean it, girl, because I do. Hey, y'all, I feel you one way, because like last night, right, I tucked my baby and I gave her a kiss, told her I loved her. She went to sleep and I just started talking to her. I was like, sometimes I be feeling like this life and this rap shit. Sometimes I wanna give it up, like I don't wanna do it, like I don't wanna get it up. But then I look into your eyes and I feel the loving like a virgin for life. Shit, I never give it up, even on them days that I can't stop hurting. I got you on my mind, so I can't stop working. Cause if I gave up, that'd be harder than to die trying. So I died trying to shine brighter than a fine diamond. Cause I was told that failure breeds failure. So to me, it's success, or I feel that I failed you. And if that's not motivation, I don't know what else is. Cause that's not living, it's more like what hell is. So I stay focused with a smile and I have it going. To all them naysayers, but I still keep on flowing. Cause I know that I was born to be different. So I say goodbye to the world they thought that I lived in. And I'ma just
smile like
a mean it, girl. And I'ma just let it all go. So girl,
this is what you want
as
to
a
do.
Kid saying, just remember
one thing,
say goodbye to the world you thought you lived in.
Say goodbye.
Ain't nothing to see out here, girl.
Nothing is.
You just told the world, all the kids in the world,
everybody
yours. It ain't easy.
Not.
This isn't take over body.
Nobody ever take nothing from you. You do you.
Your boy DJ Tommy Real.